The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we honor you this evening. Thank you, Father, for being faithful and being our Father. We receive revelation. I ask, Father, that in this meeting there will be practical demonstrations of wisdom of God to solve life issues will be clearly seen in this meeting. Thank you, Father, as we expect also the flow of the Spirit. Intercept us as you will, and let's have the best of meetings. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Praise God. It's good to have you back. See you again. Praise God. How are we doing? Yeah. Praise God. Okay. How's last Thursday? How's last Sunday? Powerful, right? So I shouldn't have even come. I should have just stayed where I was, enjoying my life. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. I'm going to, you know, the last service I was here, I was talking about what? How to prepare to receive a new year. And I'm going to build on that. Praise God. I'm going to build on that. How to prepare, how to receive a new year. One of the major thing I talked about that day was prayer. I told you, you must pray whenever a new year is coming. One of the things I'm trying to let you see this period is what I call intentionality. You must be very intentional about as a believer. You see, as a Christian, you must come to a point where you don't let things happen to you. Rather, you make things happen to you. Let me say it again. You must come to a point as a believer where you don't let things just happen to you, where you become responsible for every single thing that happens to you, where you become intentional and deliberate what happens to you. So you don't live your life, get into the year, let's just see how it goes. You don't live like that. You must be very intentional and deliberate about your life and about a new year. And one of the ways to be intentional, for instance, like I was saying last week, or last 2 weeks now, is pray. In praying, you are being deliberate about what you want out of life. In praying, you are being deliberate about what must happen and how it will happen. When you don't give yourself to prayer, for instance, a new year is coming, a lot of people are just going to ride through the new year, just get in, 31st, just blow knockout or do fireworks, and then we're excited, we get into the new year, and then let's see how it goes, and then it just goes like that. Don't be like that. Now, I told you the first day, God does not exist in time. Remember I told you that? He exists outside time, but we exist in time. And we should plan our lives with time. That's why you should get into the new year. Say, this new year, this is how I'm going to live. This is what I'm going to do. You must be very intentional about the new year. And so today, so last week I was talking about prayer, majorly. I talked about prayer of supplication. I talked about prayer where you make declarations. I talked about declarations. I talked about warfare and all that. And you must take all those consideration. And I hope you have been praying. Praise God. I hope you have been praying concerning the new year. You don't just live your life anyhow. You deliberately decide what you want out of the year. And do that in prayer. That's why you find out, I normally advise and encourage, the months of November into December should be periods and seasons of prayer. And then January. That's why if you observe, if you're very close for a very long time, I don't accept meetings in January. I don't. No matter who is hosting it, except... Okay, there are exceptions anyway, but I know there could be exceptions in the future, but till now I've not said, because this is the time you begin to pray and set the year in order and decide what you want out of the year. It's not just to get into the year and then you begin to see anything and you become a victim of circumstance. No, don't be like that. I say it again. Don't let things happen to you. Make things happen to you. Be responsible for deciding or determining what happens to you. Hallelujah. And so that's all that we said that time. So today I'm going to build on that. I'm going to talk to you about preparing for a new year, still along that line. And I'm going to talk about one thing, and that is planning. I'm going to talk briefly on how you should plan for your new year. So I've thought about intentionality. In other words, as the year is coming, you should deliberately sit down and decide what is going to happen to you in this year, how things will be. Don't live your life carelessly. Don't live your life like there's no direction. Don't live your life like there's no purpose. Don't live your life like you don't know what you're living for. No. Live your life intentionally. Live your life deliberately. A new day is coming. You must decide what will happen today. But if you don't stop, don't wake up in the morning and you just sit there and ask, okay, what's going to happen today? Say, well, let's see. You must have what you want to do that day. And sometimes it's because you don't have anything that you want to do. That's why anything can just happen. Anybody can just call you and say, guy, I did my end. Just come. You just block the person there, right there. You had no plan for the day. Praise God. Now, if you're very close to me, you should know I don't see people. I don't see people if you've not informed me a day or 2 days before that you're coming to my house. You've noticed, right? I don't do it. Except there are very rare cases of emergencies. If you've not informed me like 2 days before that you want to come and see me, you can't just call me to dance and come to your house today. You can't do that. There are records anyway, but I really accept it. Now, it's not because I'm trying to be proud or trying to be a man of God. No. It's because I know you have to plan. Let me know when you are coming. Let me plan you into my day. Are you getting the point? It was very intentional and deliberate. And I'm going to mention some major areas that I would like you to make plans towards. Praise God. I'm just going to do that and we'll close. First area you must make plans. You know, if you have been very close to me for long, with my son or my daughter for long, you should know that is something I ask people to do at the beginning of every year. I say, write your plans and get your plans for me for the new year. I do it every year. I still do it till now. Because you don't just get into the year and then you are just watching the year is running. There are deliberate plans you must make. For instance, the first area you must cover in your plan is the area of your spiritual growth. You must make plans deliberately. Now what I'm saying, after this message, start doing what I'm saying now. You must deliberately make plans around your spiritual growth. You must decide that in the coming year, I'm going to grow spiritually. But then beyond deciding, beyond making up your mind, say, next year is my year of spiritual growth. You must sit down, and not in your head, with your pen and paper, or your iPad, or your tablet, and you are making plans and writing down, see what is going to happen in the coming year. See what I am going to do as regards to spiritual growth. You can't sit and pray and you don't act. I get the point. You can't pray and you don't act and expect things to come to you. And so you plan about your spiritual growth. Things like commitment to church. You must have a plan. That in the coming year, I'm going to be more committed to church than before. For instance, some people, you find out that what was lacking in your life this year as a potential spiritual growth was training. So you can decide that this coming year, I'm going to commit myself to training more. I'm going to make myself available to be trained. You might make things like, I'm going to get closer to my pastor or to whoever. I want to be trained. I'm going to be intentional about making plans for my spiritual growth. You can make plans like, next year, I'm going to read Christian books. You can make some deliverance like once every month. Some of you, I can be very sincere, past 2020, and you can't count 3 Christian books you've read. Some can't even count 1. I'm not saying the one you read and finished. Yeah. Because many of you you've bought the God you never knew now. You have finished it in your mind. You just went through. This book died. You kept it. I'm talking about books you've read and finished. The year has ended now. Praise God. You must be deliberate about, next time I'm going to read 12 books. You know, when I wanted to get into my pastoral call and all that, many of you knew that year. If you have been close to me for long. You see, I read 100 and something books in 1 year. People that are close to me know. 100 and something. Why did I do it? 2 books per week. I get the point. 2 books. And it didn't just happen. I planned it. As the year was coming, I said, this year is my year of reading. I read everything I could lay my hands on spiritual stuff. Every pastoral material, every material on grace, new creation. I get the point. I can tell you, there is no, except I've not seen it, there is no EWK Young book that I have ever known that exists that I have not gone through. None. And it was that year. You must be very intentional about your spiritual growth. And make plans. No, you might not be able to go. I can't do that thing I did then now. I can't do it now. Why? Of course, I'm busy then. I was trying to, you know, be very spiritual and I was planning for something. So I'm not saying you should go and plan to read 100 books. Okay, don't plan to do what you fail at. Praise God. You can decide. I'm saying, even if you do 12 books in a year, what it means is that every month there is a book you are reading. I know what I'm talking about. Make such plans. Make such plans. Make such plans. I'm going to read 12 books. Some of you can do 24. That's two every month. Is that difficult? It's not difficult. If you deliberately plan around it, you will have it done. And if you don't deliberately make spiritual growth plans, you will not still grow. You won't grow. You won't grow. So make plans around that. Things like books to read, messages to listen to. You can decide, okay, every day I'm going to do one message daily. That's not too much to ask. Do you know if you do one message every day, at the end of the year, you've listened to 365 messages. Your life will not be like this. Are you following me at all? If you are deliberate and intentional about spiritual growth, you will grow. Whenever I teach spiritual growth, I keep saying this. There must be intentionality. Remember, I keep saying that. Spiritual growth is deliberate. It must, in other words, the Bible said grow in grace. The Bible said grow in grace. It means you are the one that will decide to do it. It didn't say God will grow in grace. You must, when you study the Bible, you must know when something is an instruction and when something is declaring who you are. When something is an instruction, it means it is in your will to do it. That's why when the Bible said be filled with the Spirit, it means you are the one that will be filled with the Spirit. When it says grow in grace, it means you are the one that will grow in grace. So God will not grow spiritually. You get yourself into spiritual growth. And you do it deliberately. I get what I'm saying. You do it deliberately. You do it deliberately. And so make plans around your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Things like, what books am I going to read this year? One way that I can help you, I've done that, I can help you. You can decide to work with authors. Praise God. In the coming year, I'm going to devour everything Brother Hagin has written that I can see. It's the one you can see anyway. I'm going to deal with everything E.W. Kenyon has written. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to do with everything E.W. Kenyon has written. You deliberately make those plans. I'm still not talking about messages now. Praise God. Messages. Some of you can even decide, you know, to go back to some teachings that we did some time back and go over them. You must decide and discover areas that you need to build up your spiritual life. Maybe it's love work. Maybe it's commitment. Make the deliberate decisions towards your spiritual growth. So you make decisions like around prayer plans. Make prayer plans. It's still under spiritual growth. Okay? I can decide. Maybe how was your prayer life this year? Let me say this thing to you. You do not grow, and that's why I want to talk about prayer life, actually. You do not grow by waking up one morning and eating 17 cups of rice. And you feel, man, with this thing I've eaten, let's just be growing. You rather grow by bringing that 17 cups of rice and eating it like one cup every day. I don't know if you eat one cup, right? How many do you eat? Are they sitting? Praise God. But my point is, because you just ate 17 cups of rice, you just say, man, I just ate. That same thing applies to prayer instead of the word. The fact that you sat down and you prayed for 17 hours doesn't automatically mean that you started growing. If you must grow in the area of prayer, you must be consistent at it. Even if it's 30 minutes you're doing every day. Are you getting the point? So make such plans. And in the coming year, I'm going to be consistent in prayer. I'm going to pray. Let me tell you something. You know, I believe in people growing with their time. You know, one of the things that will help you with spiritual growth is everybody can be calling you and it. You must know where you are by yourself. Don't play with this. Everybody can be calling you anything. Just know yourself and tell yourself the truth. And plan your life. If everybody's calling you a pastor, you and I know that there's something wrong with you. You know, everybody can be seeing you as that girl is spiritual. You know yourself. So be deliberate about it and say, I'm going to grow with my time. So you can decide that from next year, depending on the time, 6 o'clock to 6:30 every morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. You see, 30 minutes is too small. Start from there. And if you did 30 minutes this year, it's time to make it up to 1 hour. Make plans around your spiritual growth. And be consistent. Prayer plans, study plans. If I'm not saying what you do in your head. When I'm done, I do this every year. You, as the year is coming up, it's not New Year's resolution I'm talking about. I'm not getting your resolution. It's not bad. But I'm telling you about deliberate plans that I'm going to make. Things like 5:30 to 6 o'clock, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to study one chapter every day. One of these I'm going to introduce to us next year. Once we get into January, is a manual that can help you finish your Bible in a year. I get the point. And it's not everybody that will do it, but if you are deliberate, you can do it. You can be able to finish your Bible every year. Every year. And that's not just about studying it, okay? There's still a place for studying it, but there's still a place for reading it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I understand the part of study where you're on one chapter for a whole day. There's a place for reading it. You know there are places I'll quote in the Bible you don't even know is there. Praise God. So that's what I quote it to shout. It's not like you caught Rema. You did not know it was there in the Bible. You say, wow, are you serious? You didn't catch anything. You are just amazed. Anything is in the Bible. Praise God. I'm saying you can make such plans that this year I'm going to finish my Bible. Or maybe that's too much. This year I'm going to finish the New Testament. And it's not just saying it, you make plans. That's what I want to show you that manual. If you make plans, we can say, okay, I want to finish the epistles. How many are the epistles? You share them over 12 months and begin to work on them. Make deliberate plans. Be intentional about spiritual growth in the community. And if you don't know what I'm saying, you're just going to get into the next year and just run it like normal. And then things will happen to you. Another idea you need to make plans, still under spiritual growth, for instance, make plans around your conduct. Listen to this carefully. I was talking to one of our leaders yesterday, and I told her something. I want to say that to you. Well, let me say something before I make that statement. Make plans around your conduct, okay? We're saved by grace and all that. But you know there are places you are struggling with your conduct. Make deliberate plans that will help you live above those things in the coming year. You cannot keep making the same mistakes you made this year. No, you can't. You can't. You must make plans to do better spiritually. One of the things that the Lord has told me that we're going to emphasize next year, and it will start once again into January, is conduct. Was sharing with me last week, conduct. We were going to place a lot of emphasis on how people live, how people dress, how people date or do relationship or sleep around. We're going to watch all those things. And I'm going to be talking about it a lot in this coming year. Because you cannot be careless with your conduct and expect to, no one thing sin does to you. When you continue living in sin, no, something sin is, of course, it's not affecting God, it's affecting you. Once Satan holds you down with guilt, you say, well, I don't feel guilty when I do it again. You are in trouble already. Never come to a point, that's what I told the lady yesterday, never come to a point where you trivialize sin. When you commit sin or you think about sin, it's no longer a big deal to you. If you are there, see, you are in trouble. Sin is sin, no matter who commits it. Now, I know you have your mistakes and all that, but never come to a point where you make those mistakes and it's now normal. I know what I'm talking about. It's now normal. You say, what did you say? Ah, we just kissed. You just kissed? Never come to that point where it just becomes a normal thing. If you are there, don't think the devil is going to stop there. When he makes you trivialize sin, you will trivialize romance, trivialize sex, and before you know, trivialize lying, stealing, everything will now become normal too. Before you know, that's why, how do you think believers get to a point where they sit down and plan to sin? Say, we're going to go and kill this brother. You think he's a believer talking, no? You know it happened. We saw blood some years ago in this country. They were trying to hand over power. You remember that story? From one denomination was trying to hand over power to leadership. They were shooting themselves. How do believers get to that point? When you make one sin common, the devil will commonize the rest for you. I get the point. He'll commonize for you. You know, he said, well, it's not a big deal. I just lied. Some of us have so commonized lying that you cannot even be trusted again when you talk. You must deal with this next year. I'm serious. Commonize lying. He said, where are you? He said, I they come. I day road. And it's normal to you. He said, well, not just guy talk. It's not guy talk. It's a sin. It's not guy talk. You are sinning. You're committing sin. And until you begin to call things what God calls them, you cannot deal with them properly. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm only saying the mistakes you are making, you should call them the names they bear. Sin. Don't say it's a guy thing. It's not a guy thing. You sinned. Commit that sin.
And if you have a friend and someone that's close to you that sins or makes mistakes and then trivializes them, just like the normal thing, well, see, you better begin to watch it. It's a different thing that you are struggling with something. And we know you are struggling with it. And you are feeling bad about it. You are trying to work on it. That's a different case. We can cope with you. I don't get the point. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. I will cope with you. But where you come to a point where you know that it's just a normal thing to you. See, you need help. You are developing a reprobate mind. Are you what I'm talking about? And so you must make plans around your conduct next year. And next year, I'm going to get better in my dressing. Well, I'm telling you, next year, I'm going to be very emphatic. So all this, you can't... everything I've been saying on stage that I've not shown you, we're going to show them next year. Because you're a girl, you dress anyhow. I'm going to call you out and caution you. You must make plans around your dressing. Did you get what I'm talking about? You must make plans around your dressing. I'm going to get better. Go change your wardrobe. I don't know why you go to the market to buy clothes and you see your junior sister's clothes and you buy it. Wearing baby clothes. It says mini skirt. Don't do that. See, let me say this to you. You're a believer and you must, in anything God frowns at, frown at it. Take it from me. I know you have your struggles. But anything God frowns at, frown at it. God is angry with it. Even if it is in your own life. Am I perfect? No. Do I make mistakes? Yes. What do? I call it what it is. It is wrong. I was telling somebody, I said, even if Angel Michael sins, it's still sin. Do you get what I'm talking about? It's no matter who did it. And so we must make emphasis and you must make plans around your conduct. And next year, I'm going to work on this area. I'm going to work on this area. Deliberately decide what you're going to work on. Amen? Yeah. I noticed maybe something your spiritual father, your pastor has corrected you over. Work on it. There's some people, one of my sons, when he started coming around me, I didn't know he was like that. He started coming around me. I just noticed this guy, and I'm saying it for some of you. This guy, very good guy, powerful, passionate. I know he might even listen to this teaching. But very, very loose with speech. Talks anyhow. I say, you don't talk like that around me. If you're a loose talker, you can't be around me. Don't say anything. Tell that guy the crazy. And I say, ow. How come your tongue is so loose to say anything? You think I'm just being... that's just who I am. I just say anything I want to say. I can't tell anybody anything. You are a child. That's what you are. You're a child. You just say anything. Talk anyhow. Just say anything. And hurt people with your words. Just talk. Hurt people. You need to make plans. And next year, I'm going to Kwai Remunga. You know what I mean? I'm going to put control on my tongue. I'm not just talk anyhow. There are things that you've excused with, it's just me. And it's because you're saying it like that. That's why it's just you. Praise God. So work on your conduct. So you must decide that next year, I'm going to make plans around my conduct. All of them is under spiritual growth. You know, that's something I've kept telling you. Spiritual growth is not just about knowing how to read the Bible. Hope you know. It's part of it. Okay. But then it has a lot to do with how much effect that word you are reading has in your life. For instance, I've kept saying, of course, another place you can also make plans around that spiritual growth, around flowing in spiritual gifts. It's a painful thing to do. But you know, one thing that shows you are growing spiritually when it comes to spiritual gifts is not just about how much you flow in it, it's about how well. It is how well that determines spiritual growth, not how much. Do you understand what I said now? Do you get what I said? When you begin to apply the wisdom of God, I was ministering last night at a meeting I went to. And I gave a word of knowledge about someone that had gone to a native doctor, okay, to get charms and all that. But over time, the person is no longer using it. She got it for her business, but she's no longer using it. But she's still scared, she still feels that is going to affect her in one way or the other. Now, as I was saying that, I was looking at the woman, and I knew she was the one. Now, if you're not trained with spiritual flows, I'm just going to point her. So I'm talking to you. I didn't even ask her to come out. I just said it and just let it pass. I was not about to go. I just stepped into the car. She rushed and said, I want to tell you something, sir. I said, what is it? She said, I'm that person. I didn't get the point. And then we handled it from there. Now, that talks about being very mature and wise in spiritual flows. That is where the spiritual growth shows. It's not about how much you flow in it. I know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. It's not about how much.
It's not about how much. Because the Corinthian church were flowing in the Spirit much. What Paul did in 1 Corinthians 14 was to teach them how. Are you following me at all? They were flowing. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, he said, you come behind in no spiritual gift. So they were flowing in all. But in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul began to teach them how. Two people went there prophesying. The other person should wait for the other person. We're going to show them how. So the maturity is not in the much. It's in the how. So you can decide that in the coming year, I'm going to flow better with spiritual things. Amen. I'm going to be more mature. So you make plans. And these are not just, I'm not resolutions. The problem with resolutions is that you make resolutions and you don't have any plan to back them up. So as you are writing these things down, you are deciding. So what am I going to do to get better with my prayer life? I'll fix a prayer time. What am I going to do to get better with my spiritual flow? Who knows? You practice more, okay? How? You know, I'll practice more. When? I'm talking about being deliberate and intentional about your life. That every day I'm going to practice things. Let's say I'm going to do a teaching on Psalms. Amen? Psalms. You're going to learn how to give Psalms. And do Psalms every day, even in your personal prayer time. I'm not talking about singing. Not just about singing. You make plans, so you deliberately, like one of the things I decided towards the end of this year was, I'm going to get better with Psalms and all that. So I decided every day of my life, I'm going to pray, I'm going to give some Psalms. I'll do it every day today. Amen. It's God. You must be deliberate and intentional about spiritual growth. If not, you're not going to have it. So the coming year is a year for you of intentionality. Amen. It's a year that you're going to be intentional with everything you're going to do. Very intentional. So make plans around the spiritual growth. We're talking about books. If you need the names of authors after this teaching, come and I'll give you authors that you're going to read. Making plans around books would also mean that you should be ready to spend for it. Amen. Praise God. Many of you don't like buying books. You don't like spending for books. Some people are here and you've not even bought prayer force. Let's talk of buying God you never knew. And you think it's because you don't have money. No. It is your scale of friends that is showing. It's what you value. It's what you value. You get the point? It is what you value. It's what you value. A book can never be too expensive. I'm telling you, except it's an empty book. A book can never, except you don't like what is inside. I've bought a book for 10,000 naira. Some of you know the book is in my house. 10K, I bought it. And I didn't feel bad. And it's not like I had a lot of money then. I just bought it because I needed what was inside. Because if you decide to grow spiritually, you must make, and when I was telling you, I read 100 and something books, that was the year I grew my library. Because actually, I didn't have, you know, it's not now, almost every book is on PDF. So every day, I'll go buy it and then walk home. Go buy them, walk home. Some you borrow, praise God. But if I borrow a book and I read it and I like it, I go and buy it too and keep it. You must be intentional about spiritual growth. Let me tell you, growth does not fall on people. People walk towards growth. And they have it. Okay, we didn't get it. See, let me say this to you. I did not sleep one day and woke up and found out I was like this. It's a lie. I grew to it. I knew when it was happening. And that's something about growth. You don't just sleep and wake up and find out, wow, I'm now better. It doesn't happen like that. You keep getting better. You see yourself getting there. Talk about church. You can decide that this year, well, I wasn't coming to church very well. I'm going to do better this. I'm going to be in the department. I'm going to serve. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be better with my spiritual growth. The year I changed my church, that was before I became a pastor. It was still like this. Ending of the year, I was thinking. I just knew, because what happened then was, we used to listen to some messages. And those messages were powerful. And I began to imagine. Imagine sitting under this kind of message every Sunday, every Wednesday. I thought about it. I told myself, I'm going to change my church. I got into the next year, changed my church. I decided. Because I wanted to grow. Are you getting the point? You must make decisions that will help you move forward spiritually. And not just decisions now. You plan around it. Are you following me this evening? So another aspect that you must plan towards is ministry. I'm going to divide it into two. First of all, I'll talk about the ministry of reconciliation. You must make plans around the ministry of reconciliation. You must make plans. Every year, if you've been under me for a very long time, every year that is starting, you must make, for instance, soul-winning plans. 2021 is coming. Have you decided on how many souls you're going to win?
It's not just what you say. Have you decided, I made plans as for how I'm going to win those souls? Can I ask you a question? How many of you, you know you won up to 100 souls this year? 100. 80. 50. 30. 20. 10. 5. 2. 1. Okay, 1. None. You know why those things happen? You must be very, don't just say, well, we saw last now. Go evangelism. No. Beginning of every year, decide on how many souls you're going to win to the Lord this year. Make soul winning plans. And as you decide it, make deliberate plans as to how you're going to go about it. You cannot sit down in your house and say, this year I'm winning 300 souls, and you're sitting in your house. It's not possible now. You're not going to do it. Or you say, well, as evangelism comes, I will attend. If you just live your life by as it comes, it may never come. You must deliberately make it come. Remember I said, don't let things happen to you. Make things happen to you. So they said, okay, what it means is that if I'm going to win 300 souls, it means I should at least endeavor to win at least one soul every week. No, is it? No, every day. At least. A year is 52 weeks, 300 and something days. If I do one soul every day, I would have done 365 in a year. You say, no, sir, I can't do that. Okay, let's start with something you can do. Maybe you never tried this before. Let's start with 50 souls. What it means is that at least every week, you must preach the gospel to at least one person. Deliberately. So that's the year is ending. So you can decide, I'm going to, I was talking to one of our pastors this morning. When she came, before I started traveling down. I asked her, how many people do you want to disciple for the Lord this coming year? And she gave me a figure. I said, that is it. You must decide, in the coming year, I'm going to win some number of schools. So I'm going to disciple at least how many people like this? I'm going to bring them to maturity. Yet have such plans. You're not yet ready to live a better year. It's not going to pass through the next year and it just be like that. So what are your plans? What are your plans? If you make all these plans, you want me to see it, fine. I even want to see it. And you deliberate. Don't just write, I'm going to win 200 souls. That's not a plan. That's a decision. That's your resolution. That's not what I wanted to do. I'm going to win 200 souls this year. See how I'm going to do it. Every Wednesday, I'll go on evangelism. So, be practical like that. Are you getting the point? Be very deliberate and intentional about your spiritual growth. Like, they come here now. I've made my plans. I'm still making them now. How many people we are going to add to church? How many people I'm going to disciple and train people? Things that I've decided. Because I want to be very... It's not like, you know, some pastors just live their life. That's why pastoring can be boring if you're not intentional about it. Just do a routine. Come to the morning, preach, go back, preach. If there's no plan you have and sometimes driving you, it's going to be very boring for you. So make plans around ministry. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Okay, verse 18, it says, verse 17, it says, whosoever is in Christ is a new creation. He said, all things have passed away. He said, all things have become new. In verse 18, he said, all things, actually, all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has what? The word of reconciliation. So we all have a ministry. We'll have been given a word of reconciliation. Every of us. Every one of us. So we can deliberately begin to decide that this is my ministry. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. Make decisions around soul winning. Make plans. Make plans. Make plans. That's how you're going to be productive for God in the coming year. That is how. That is how. That is how you're going to win men to Jesus. If not, listen to this carefully. If you don't plan around your spiritual growth and around soul winning, around ministry, the world can be so fast and beautiful. I get to the point. Before you know you get into the next year, of course, some of you that are students, as the year is starting, school is starting, exam is starting. As I get done with the exam, the next semester starts. You are in December. It can be so fast. I get to the point. It can be so fast. That, for you know, as you are leaving, some of you are going to graduate next year. You just graduate. You say, let me just pick a job. Just pick a job. The job is from 6 o'clock to 6 in the evening. You just pick it. As you are coming out immediately, service is coming. You go for service. You stay 3 weeks in camp. You come out. They push you to one village. You know, just like that. Before you know, the year has ended. I say, it's my year. Let this next year really be your year. As far as soul winning is concerned. Are you getting the point? Do you know that if you have won one soul every week, for 1 year you have 52 souls. If you do it for 10 years, just one every week, with others that could add, maybe during church evangelism. I mean, deliberately winning one soul every week. In 10 years, you've won at least 520 people to the Lord. Just by one-on-one interaction. And it could be more. Because once you begin to do one soul every week, by next year, you have to now add to like two souls every week. It begins to grow like that. Plans. Some of you that are writers, you can decide that next year.
Sorry?
What I'm going to do next year, I'm going to write tracts. Use my money and print them. I'm going to distribute them free of charge as I go on evangelism. I get to the point. Be very intentional about ministry plans, about soul winning. So I said, I divided it into two other ministries, that is ministry of reconciliation. And then I also talk about your personal responsibilities from God. For instance, you are in a department in church. You can determine how much, you can decide how much you're going to commit to that department in the coming year. How much you're going to commit to church in the coming year. So soul winning, church work, some personal assignments that God has given you, things the Lord has asked you to do. You can make plans around them. But as I was saying last week, this is the time you begin to pray for the coming year. Father, what do they have me do? Praise God. Begin to pray and see what God will have you do. In your department where you are in, over soul winning, some of you are departments, you are in the choir, you are in the usher, you are anywhere, you begin to make deliberate and intentional plans towards that particular department and how we can be stronger. Do you know, as the choir director, you should have some plans. Things like that in the coming year, we should have gotten to this number. We should have been this good. We should have done this and done that. I'm going to have a choir where at least 80% or 90% are spiritually stable and yet doing well. You know, I'm talking about...
Let me not say that.
But then, where you have a... where everybody is doing well, so you can decide and make such plans, and you don't just say it in your mind and say, that's what I'm going to do. You begin to make plans. Plans, for instance, for a team like that, can say, every 2 months, we're going to have at least one world retreat. Every 2 months, we're going to have at least one prayer retreat. I get what I'm saying at all. Be very intentional about things like that, that God will have you do, about your ministry. The third part I'm going to ask you to make plans around, of course, is your personal development. You must make plans and prepare around your personal development. I'm talking about, for instance, some of the other students, school. School. You're going to decide what are you going to have your results next year. And don't just say, well, I'm going to make first class. Nobody makes first class by saying it. So you say next year, I'm going to hit a CGPA of this, this, and that. And what it means is that I'm going to be reading at least 5 hours every day. It's not just what you say and say, amen. No. You now walk towards it. You can decide every morning, I'm going to be up. Let me give you something simple. I'm going to be up by 4. When I wake up by 5, I'm going to pray from 4 to 5. Then I'm going to read from 5 to 6 if I prepare for school. That's 1 hour. When I come back, I'm going to read for like 3 hours. You're already doing 4 hours every day. You can decide, make such deliberate plans. If not, you will just get yourself into temptation to be asking people up and down in the hall, embarrassing your village. And that takes me back to conduct. You say, well, it doesn't matter. We are just cooperating. You are cooperating. You say, what's wrong with exam practice? What is really wrong with it is, by the time you settle in your heart that there's nothing wrong with exam practice, you are going to graduate and settle in your heart that there's nothing wrong with bribing people in offices. From there, you settle there's nothing wrong with paying your way through. It just be like that. When Satan convinces you over one sin, he will convince you over many more. If you are still here, say amen. I don't like this message, but you need it. Amen. So make plans. How do I develop myself academically? Some of you, you know what your GP is like. Forget you are all praising the Lord in this church. You know what your GP is like. Know what it is like. Some of you can't even make call. It can't flash. It can't flash. But you know. And you must decide to change that in the coming year. And you don't decide by just talking. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, bro, I don't want to see your results. Don't you want your pastor to know what your result is like? Say, is your result? I'll tell you, yeah, he was good. Really?
So you make personal development plans. I'm going to be reading, you know, some of you that are medical students here and law students and all that. I keep telling you, you must be able to read at least 8 hours every day. Praise God. Are you getting the point? He said, well, who does that? How can I read 8 hours? I said, let me tell you how. And nursing students are involved too, praise God. Praise God, because some of them were fought a lot. But you must do it. So I'm not going to do that. What it means is that when you make such plans, you have to begin to, let me tell you, you see this, your body is under you. You can condition it and tell it. You can tell your body when to wake up. So you can decide to be doing 5 hours sleep for a whole day. I mean, not for the whole day anyway. Maybe at night. Then in the afternoon, you take your siesta, 2-3 hours. You're okay. But you see, you must read your book. And that is if you're going to do well. And let me say something about reading. You can't want to succeed in the university and you are reading when you have time. You won't succeed. If you're not deliberate about it, you will not succeed. Are you what I'm saying? Some of you have graduated. That's why your result is the way it is. You are reading when you had time. As time come out, time will never come out. Just like prayer. You can't pray when you have time. If you say, I'm going to pray when it shows up, time will never show up. You create it. 24 hours can never be, nothing will be added. It's just one day. Nothing else will be added 24 hours. So that's what you have. So create it. Personal development. Some of you that are not students, you begin to ask yourself, or not maybe in university already, you begin to ask yourself things like, what am I going to do? I already have my degree. Is it time to go for a master's next year? And the Lord said, yes, it's time to go for a master's next year. Go for your master's. What are you doing at home? Pick your master's from this coming year. Say amen to that. So you make plans around that. Pick up your master's form. This coming year. Or you're done with your master's. Is it too early to start your PhD? It's not. Make plans that will develop you. Praise God. Make some plans. Okay, it may not be. What of personal courses that you can take? Personal development courses. I'm going to learn 5 more skills next year. These are plans you make. I don't just make them and sit down. I'm going to learn this, write down the skills. I'm going to learn one between January and March. This one between March. Who is getting what I'm talking about? Make your plans. Develop yourself. Are there skills you need to pick up next year? Do something about your life. So live your life deliberately. Intentionally. 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 So the year is coming. Be very deliberate about it. Hallelujah. When you begin to live some plans you make and you work with, your prayer point reduces. Hallelujah. Some prayer points you are praying for our studies. You know, some of you, the job you are looking for, the job you've gotten this year already because the man of God declared it, you see, there is a better one waiting for you next year. But that better one is tied to some simple courses you need to add to your CV. That's what I'm saying. That you just need to do and add to it and then things will begin to flow. That way, the prayer will now be better next year. If you have something to show for it. So develop yourself. Go for new courses. Write new exams. You studied accountancy here. You're listening to me. It's time to go for your ICAN. Nobody's going to die if you do that. Register for it and start going for it. Nobody will die. Do you understand? Nobody's going to die. Praise God. You have plans for it. Some of you say, you're talking about studies. I don't work with my certificate. All my own is, I just want to do business. Fine. Get an MBA. You know what that means? Get a master's in business administration. Do something. I will really want to see the plans you are making. Do you understand the point? Just don't write anything and send to me. Like, don't write any piece of paper to me. Send to my mail, okay? I don't want to receive any. Let me see the plans you're making so that I can help you, can tell all it together. As many people as I can attend to anyway. What I'm saying, do something. If you can't get to me, you can get to your cell leader or maybe your one of the ministers in church. Let's make sure that you are living your life deliberately and intentionally. Are you following me at all? So make plans for your personal development. What other area? Well, I talked about this one the last 3 weeks. Let me say it again. Plan around your health. Make preparations to live a healthy life next year. Say next year, I'm going to walk in health.
Now, I mentioned the last 3 weeks when I was talking about prayer. And we prayed and declared by your health. Now, this time I'm asking you to make plans towards it. Say, how will that happen? That will happen by deciding what you eat. You might need to change your feeding habit. Sister, why are you always talking about this health thing? Well, I'll tell you why. I said it the last time, I'm saying it again. Your body, you see, when you see a tank of water, the tank is useless. The important thing is water inside. But if you waste the tank, the water will waste. So you take care of your body. So change your feeding habits. Let me tell that to your neighbor. Come on, talk to your neighbor once again. Say, change your feeding habit. Say, do something about it. Praise God. This still, I'm not just talking about eating well or eating big. I'm talking about eating well. You understand the point? Stop practicing gnashing of teeth in the night. Bread and suya in the midnight. I've warned you guys about all that. And then you break down, you wonder.
Wow.
But let me say this to you. Some of you are still doing all of that, and it's not a big deal because you're still a student, you're still young. As you begin to grow and add in your age, please be careful what you eat. Don't take anything. So you make plans around your health. Make plans around your health. There's a place for rest too. You deliberately decide, I'm going to rest better this year. That's not talking about laziness. But then intentional deliberate plans around your health, around resting, around what you eat, praise God, around your personal hygiene. Hallelujah. Personal hygiene, ladies, your personal hygiene. Be deliberate about it the coming year so that you will not have, always have prayer points to pray for you. So you can be healthy to even face what God has committed into your hands. So you make plans about it. I won't say much about that. You know, another plan you can also make around your health, for instance, is your confession. I hope you know. You can decide to make confession. Do you know if you make health confession every day of your life, you will possibly never be sick throughout the year. Every day. Some of you just make it when you start feeling headache. You say, no sickness, that's my body, because headache has come. Proverbs 4:22. If you make faith confessions every day, you'll possibly never be sick. Proverbs 21, please. Okay, from 20. Okay, he said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Verse 21, he said, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Now, verse 20 said, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So the word of God is health. So if you dwell on the word long enough, confessing the word, oh, I have my health. I cannot be sick. If you do it every day, you'll possibly live the whole year without ever being sick. But that's where intentionality comes in. You should have some confessions that you make every day. Some things you paste in your room. Some things you do daily. Be intentional about your health. Because next year, there's a lot to be done with ministry. I hope you know. And you must be healthy to do them. Are you getting me at all? Must be healthy to do them. Must be healthy to do them. Another area I'm going to insist that you plan around is your relationship. Please write that. Must make plans around your relationships, your ministerial relationships, supernatural relationships, your friends, romantic relationships, platonic relationships. You must plan around all those things. Don't just get into the coming year and live anyhow. For instance, you can decide, for instance, this coming year, I'm going to strengthen my relationship with my pastor because I know it's going to help me grow better. I'm going to strengthen it. I'm going to go closer. Praise God. There was a year I did that too. I'm going to strengthen it. You plan around that. I'm going to strengthen. Or, talking about, you can say, well, I've analyzed my life. The reason I am where I am is because so people were in my life. So I'm going to cut off these people as the year is coming. There are people you must cut off from your life. Make plans around that. And tell me, say this to you. You see what I'm sharing with you this evening? If you take the way I'm saying it, your next day will be a smooth ride. I get the point. It will be a smooth ride. Don't be careless about relationships. You choose your friends. You say, I'm going to get close to my pastor. So in my note, I said, that relationship you must plan to start. The relationships you must plan to start. There are some that you must end. There are some that you must protect. I said that next year, I'm going to start working closer to
this person, my mentor. You know that is someone that is flowing very well with the power of God in this church that you've been admiring. It's time next day to decide, I'm going to get a bit closer. Let me learn from this person. These are the decisions you make. And you don't just say it and stay. You say it and you do it. Say it and you get closer. Say it and you get closer. So plan around your relationships. Spiritual relationships. I'm going to strengthen my flow with my spiritual father. I'm going to strengthen my flow with people I'm raising. I'm going to strengthen my flow with my mentors. Maybe this year was characterized for you with envy, strife, bitterness in your heart. I'm going to say next year, I'm not going to live with envy next year. I'm going to forgive everybody. I'm going to work better with my leaders. Work better with my ministers. Not envious, not jealous, not bitter, not angry. Take every instruction in God that you must decide to do all those things. I begin to work on it. How do you work on it? Well, it starts by prayer and declaring how today I'm a man of love. I'm not giving to bitterness. I work well with my leaders. I learn from them. I am not disloyal. I'm not dishonorable. I'm a loyal man. I'm a man of honor. And therefore, I'm not going to walk in dishonor. You continue doing that. I'm beginning to work on it. So make plans around the relationships. Are you following me? Are you following me? Relationships. There are some you must plan to start. Like some of you, maybe your plan, part of your plan is that next year, I'm going to get into a relationship leading to marriage. It's a beautiful plan to make for next year. Are you getting me? A beautiful plan if you're up to that. Now, what do you do about that? When you make that plan, you begin to walk towards it. It's not by shining teeth up and down. When you're later, you make that plan. It's not by shining teeth and just dressing hot. No. If first of all, you begin to pray about that. You say, what do you pray about? I meet the right people. No, as you begin to pray, you know, you begin to get connected to these people. And of course, you begin to dress fine too. So what do you mean by dressing fine? Dressing fine is simply dressing like the kind of person you want to attract. When I say dress fine, you see, as a young girl, and what it means to you is wear short skirt and wear bun short and walking up and down. This is the kind of men you're going to attract. You get the point? Say, why is that? It's always men that are unbelievers that chike me. That's what I'm saying. You're attracting them. You are releasing a vibe. And they're catching it. Let me say this to you. If you want to, I don't know why I'm digressing now. If you want to date a very serious believer and marry a very serious believer, I'll give you an advice. Live your life like you're a very serious believer. Don't come out on some days you're trying to behave like Chioma Jesus with the touch of Beyoncé. You can't get a serious believer like that. You want to show them that you're a church person, but you're not shy into church like that. Let people know that you're a fanatic. You're a church person. What are you ashamed of? I don't want to marry a believer. I don't want to marry someone that will be a believer that no way. Don't know way. Just be a believer. We will find a way together. Jesus is the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't know way anyway. Don't know anything. Now, you must begin. That's where you begin to say, well, this is the kind of thing I want for my life. You decide it. Make up your mind. So I'm going to start a good relationship next year, leading to marriage. Now, you know, it means a lot of things. First, one of the things it means is that all these other guys that are hanging around your life, they are not planning to date. You should begin to shift them. For some ladies, what you just do is you're enjoying attention. You know, you're not going to date them. Just like the fact that they're calling and telling you hi, hello, and you're just enjoying it. Begin to shift them from your way. So, because you have to be single at least for God to locate you. Praise God. Most of the times you're praying, say, Father, send me. God said, but you have five people around you. You have five husbands. Even the one you're living with now is not your husband. Well, pray for God to locate you. So you might begin. Praise God. You're beginning to shift some people from your life. And I'm saying this jokingly, but it's actually very true. There's some guys you are trusting God for a serious relationship, but you have about three girls you're holding in bondage. You're holding them hostage. All of them are having hope, having faith that it's going to be them. And you're still saying, well, Lord, I'm trusting you. Delete those ones from your life first. Shift them aside. Adam was sleeping alone.
Adam was sleeping alone and Eve came. Let me say this thing to you. You're trusting God for a serious believer. And then you have many girls around you they are playing with. You think God will carry his precious daughter and give to you to break her heart? No. Out of my watch. Even me as the pastor will not agree. Once they come to me and say, I say, that guy, hell no, wait, I don't trust him. Wait. I'm trying to say, plan around your relationship in the coming year. Are you following me at all? Make plans around your relationship. So you can decide to start. And some of you might need to make, one of the plans you might need to make is to end some toxic relationships. Relationships that make you bitter, that make you sad, that break you down. I'm not talking about people that tell you the truth. Some of you people tell you the truth. Just say it's making you toxic. No, some people tell you the truth. But the people are just toxic. Move on from them. Someone has been beating you up in your relationship. When will you end it? When? 2021. January 1st. December 31st, 2020. Just say I'm no more doing. Don't let them beat you. And some people, it's not beating. You know, so you say beating. Yes, I say yes, yes. Some of you are in toxic relationships and are not beating you yet. Your mouth is toxic. If you are dating someone or you have a close friend that always talks you down, it's worse than beating. Did you get what I'm saying? You see, what we beat into, it will damage your body. That's one, when they keep talking to you about how you are bad, how, you know, when you start around them, you just feel less of yourself. Leave that place alone. He says, are you always telling us to break relationship? Yes. Leave it alone. If not, it's going to waste you. Before you know, you become unproductive. Some of you have experienced what I'm talking about. You stay with someone that keeps talking you down. Before you know, you're not even productive in your spiritual life, in your academics, because the person is making you feel less of yourself. You don't even believe in yourself for anything again. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? A real man names his woman. Adam met Eve. And said, she shall be called woman. She is now born of my bones. You name your woman. Give her the reputation she deserves. But don't you stay with someone that keeps telling you how good you are, how you are this. And sometimes they are intimidated by the progress you are making. It's time to shift from them. And let me say this to you. If you're a guy in this church and you really want to marry a platform of grace person, let me tell you, you better start getting used to ladies that are successful. Because this one here will succeed. If you are still being intimidated by when people, somebody you say, I don't want my wife to have a PhD when I have a degree, that she will not intimidate me, then don't marry from here. Because these ones from here will own businesses. They will own companies. And it's true, if you are intimidated by that, then you don't want to marry from here. This is not your church. Are you getting the point? So don't be toxic. So it's time to begin to end some things. The next day is a beautiful one. Amen. End. Start. Then, the other one I said, there are relationships that you must deliberately decide to protect next year. If there's any relationship that has been good to you this year, you must decide, I must protect it against envy, against jealousy, against hearsay. They said. There will be temptations to mess things up next year. You must deliberately decide, I'm going to protect my relationship with people that matter to me. So you make plans around that. And then maybe finally, on plans you have to make for the coming year, preparations, I'll talk about your finance. You must make deliberate plans around your finance. This one is very important. Money is important. Praise God. Money is important. So you must deliberately make plans around. So I talk about your work plans or your business plans. What do you want to do for money next year? You might need to get, do you want to get more streams of income? How are you going to go about it? Some of you are still job hunting. Well, we are trusting God for a new job. But then, while you are at it waiting, what are you going to be doing? Make some plans. Write them. I'm going to work towards them. Praise God. We've been bringing some things, exposing some things. Decide, what am I going to do about work, about business? Don't just stay and decide, well, money will come. Money does not just come. You make money come. And you work. So, I'm going to challenge you. If you're a guy in this church, or you're even a lady, but you're with school, I'm going to challenge you. between now and February ending, add at least 2 more streams of income to your earning. Take it as an assignment from me. Even if you don't like yourself, do it because I say it. Add at least 2 more streams of income to your earning. At least 2 more. An extra cash will not hurt. Amen? So plan around it and decide as you begin to pray from now to the end of the year. Let the Lord open your eyes. Let the Lord show you things you might need to add. These things might not be too demanding as you think. Add some more, an extra source of income. Imagine you just have 1 source of income this year. Your finance, I even rejoice in it, is better. Imagine you have 2 more next year. I said between now and February. Because the Lord said to me, this coming year, get 10 channels. 10 channels of income this coming year. I heard it from the Lord. And I'm going to pray it over you. Amen. But start between now and February. Add 2 more. As you progress, you add 3 more. More channels will just mean more money. So begin and touch some of you by the Spirit I'm perceiving. There are things that the Lord has been leading you in your heart to delve into. It's time to act on it as the year starts. I get the point. Get into it. Prayerfully though, but then get into it. Are you following me this evening? Prayerfully. You know, there is a lot more we should do with money. There are souls to be won, you know, right? There are missions to sponsor. There are givings to make. You know, why are you talking about money? Listen. 2021, if you're a member of this church, you will give. We are going to spend heavy next year. That point? Heavy. I'm talking about 10 times what to spend this year. It's not prayer. I'm telling you the plans I've made. And what it means is that the people in the church have to be 10 times richer to be able to sponsor 10 times more. Don't you think so? It doesn't fall from the sky. So like I said, whenever your church is talking about doing something big, start rejoicing. What it means is that, for instance, if I come up and say, the Lord said to me that between now and June, you are raising 25 million, start rejoicing. What it means is that 25 million has been shared abroad everybody in this church. So it is time to increase your giving. That's what it means. It means it's time to increase your earning. It means God is going to give you that money to be able to give it, for the church to be able to have it. So anytime I hear, when the Lord, I'm praying and the Lord says to me, you see, this new year, you're going to spend this and that. I get excited. It means I know I'll not just be rich. It means people are about to experience financial breakthrough. I know. I've seen it over time. Whenever the church does something big, you know, Pastor Demi was sharing a story. You know Samada Emi? So when they were very young as a church, they had venue issues. They had financial and venue issues. Much more of that. You know, they celebrated that 25 years recently. That they were telling this story. Much more that they were paying for the hall every day after service. They could not pay for the hall until the service ends. They will now give offering and be able to pay for the hall. You know, you can't imagine that church was that broke at any time. So it was that bad. So one day the church came out, the landlord came out and said, no, that they're not, that they should now start paying him before the service. You can imagine such pressure. If you're a pastor, you've ever been under this kind of pressure, you will know that there is God. Amen. So he didn't know what to say. And I begged the guy, the pastor, the landlord, I said, please, I'll pay you. Okay, just give us, let's just do 30 minutes. Just 30 minutes and I'll pay you. Please. And the guy agreed. So Pastor Sam came into service and started preaching immediately. Preached small and said, before I continue, let's take offering. People are wondering, why are we taking offering before? He said, his man, if we don't take this offering, there will be no service today. So they took offering. It was just that bad. Until one day he got angry. I'm thinking of you. He got angry and said, we are leaving this place. And we're not just living here. We are living here to go and get a property. So when you hear such things, some people get scared and say, this man wants to kill us. It's time to tell yourself, it means this man has seen something. I am part of what he saw. So one man at the church, he was in his 40s or so. He had 2 cars. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, that's better. Sell it. He sold it and brought money to the church. I'm telling you, in less than how many years of that man taking that step, he has a company that has cut across the entire, if I mention the company, you know the company, the entire Africa. He was a normal human being then. But he took that step. You know, I was talking to you about giving the other time. So he gave it and said, I know I'm going to give this because there are bigger things to be done. As I trust you for provision, he gave that, everything opened up. When you're talking about big things, you must decide, well, I'm going to give more. So what I'm saying is there is much more giving to be done. So you must make plans around your businesses, around your investments. You know, I'm saying this because testimonies are always incomplete. You just heard this story now. I say, man, the man just gave, money just came. No. The complete part of it is that possibly he gave and began to make plans. Get the point? As God was bringing the resources, he was planning. So make plans. You saw 10,000 this year. You saw 100,000 this year. You saw 200,000 this year. I believe and I'm praying for you that by December next year, you're going to see 10 times more. I say 10 times more. But that's not just going to happen by prayer. Make plans. Praise God. An extra source of income. Or better plans that you're going to make around your business. Some of you ran your business like it was a child's play this year. Do we need to do better next year? It was online. Do we need to come on ground this coming year? What do we have to make? Do we have to do this? Make your plans. Put them on paper so that you're getting into the year. So even when you're praying, hey, at least you're praying with something. I told somebody, what do you want? He said, lay hands on me. I said, what do you want? He said, God should bless me. I said, I don't want anything. Be specific. What do you want? When you're praying, say, Father, I've made this plan. As I launch into this is what I want to see. So make plans around your finance. Of course, there should be faith declarations. Make savings plans too. Praise God. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor. Shake the person. Do you have savings at all? Find out from the person. It's not a rhetorical question. Say, you will not escape it. Give me the answer. You will not escape. Have you saved up anything yet? Ooh. You know, I was talking about relationship plans. This just came to me. Some of you, you've kept somebody's child in bondage for like 3 years that you people are dating. Is it not time to marry her yet? What are you guys doing? It's time. Hallelujah. Next year is the year. I'm not just talking. That's why if you want to get married next year, you start working towards it already. I mean, if you already have someone, both of you should start talking about it already. What is going to happen next year? Pick a date already. And make deliberate plans. I'm happy one or two persons here have come to meet me with their person. Listen. About two, three persons have come and said, this is the person. Now, do you know when you make that kind of move and commitment? I say, when are you looking at? He says, sir, we are looking at next year, this and that. And they'll begin to walk towards it. Amazingly. All these people clapping are not part of it. Praise God. I just said, let me talk about that. Make plans, practical plans for next year. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm talking about savings now. Have your savings. Do you have savings at all? Do you? Start next year. Start doing so. Just anything. Then investments. Invest something. Investments has become so easy these days that you don't have to go and buy land. You can invest in anything. You said what? Oh, crypto. Wow. Yes, that's a good place to put your money in. And then you're trading with it. These are simple things you can do from the comfort of your home. You say, I don't know anything about crypto. What do you think Value Corp is doing in this church? Eh? What do you think is our work? Praise God. So you do something. Please. And what I'm saying is, you see, savings and investment is possible no matter how much you're earning. No matter how small your earning is, it's possible. You might not save big. The problem with saving for many people is they want big money. You are earning 15,000. I want to save 14,000. You will just eat everything. That's the strategy. You eat everything. You can't save like that. In fact, if you read books on finance and all that, they tell you to do 5%. Some even say 10%. Some say 5%, 10%. Anything small. But let's just be consistent. I'll be talking about consistency here. Praise God. That's what I said about prayer too. It can be anything small. The any 15,000, 1.5 every month wouldn't hurt. Just be keeping it there. Or even 1,000. What if you can just keep that and forget that it is there? Just continue doing it like that. Then it will build up. One day you pull it out and you invest it into something. You can only get better. But that will not happen. Remember, I thought about intentionality. That will not happen by make we just enter there, make ourselves they go. Don't say as they go. Begin to plan towards it. Say this is what I'm going to do next year. This one, I'm going to add an extra source of income. I'm going to save. I'm going to invest. Then make plans around your giving too. Step up your giving for next year. Decide I'm going to give better next year. Make plans like I gave my commitment this year was this, and I was not even faithful to it. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to step on my commitment and I'll be faithful to it. How will you be faithful to it? I'll give you some advice. You can decide that. You can say that I'll be paying my commitment or my partnership commitment every 20th of every month. You set the alarm on your phone or the reminder. Every 20th, it rings and says, pay your partnership commitment. Set it for 20th, set it for 23rd, set it for 25th, set it for 28th. So when you ring for 20th, you don't do it. 23rd, it will ring again. Why have you not paid your partnership commitment? 25th, it will say, do you want God to kill you? Buy your partnership. I'm saying be that intentional. I can talk about praying. If you want to start praying at 5:30, for instance, it's time to set an alarm on your phone. Don't say, well, let me see if I can wake up. You will not wake up. We know how you sleep. You know how you sleep. You've forgotten? Set some alarm. Let me tell you something, a beautiful thing I've been using for alarm sometime now, and you can use it. I should tell you. Get your pastor's prayer. Record it. Put it as your alarm tone. Once you just 5 days silent, pate korate. You just say, hey. Praise God. I'm using my alarm, and it always works. It always works. Put it on the highest volume. Or maybe this message now, where I'm admonishing you. Give yourself to prayer. Put it as alarm tone. 5:30, just hear him. You're not praying? Do you want to grow spiritually? Give yourself to prayer. Just wake up and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to pray right now. You know, you must come to the point intentional like that. Now about giving. Make more plans around your giving. We're going to do big projects next year. Amen. When I'm taking offering here, and I say things like, keep your 100,000, give your, don't just see it like, amen. One day, I'm going to start giving 500 naira as offering. One day, I'll start giving 1,000 naira as daily offering. One day, I'll start giving that. Make such plans. I thought the bishop said, if I come to your church and the offering is less than 1 million naira, he said, ask the ushers. Because my own offering is 1 million. He said, these are men that God has blessed. Well, they didn't start off giving 1 million naira. And don't think he's giving 1 million naira because he has much money. No. 1 million is big money, even if I have 10 billion. Don't you think so? It's still big money. To give 1 million, it's a liberal heart. And to give it in a church that he was invited to preach. I don't get the point. I think of the honorarium you're going to give him. How much will you give him as an honorarium? Just pack his money that he brought and add and give back to him. I don't get the point. Now, this is, you must say, next year I'm going to give more. Praise God. So I will give more next year. So you can begin to decide, my offering will step up. Get out from the 20 naira gang. Please tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, pastor said, you must get out from the 20 naira gang. Hallelujah. Get out. You know, there's some things that some people have started doing in this church that I appreciate. Some of you have made your offering strictly online, and I like it. It's a way to train yourself to give better. Because you cannot transfer 50 naira. Praise God. You can make your giving strictly by transfer. Start to give your offering. Bring out your phone. 1,000, 2,000. Then from there, when they begin to make commitments, decide to make commitments. And I said it last 2 weeks. I was thinking, okay, before Zoe, when I was thinking of giving and receiving, you can never be broke giving. See, you can never get broke giving. Take it from me. Say, well, if I give everything I have, it's not possible. Except you're not giving right. And I've explained to you how that happens. You never go broke because you're giving. Giving has never made anybody broke. In fact, it's stinginess that makes people broke. And so make plans around your giving. Next year will be better, but it's not going to be better by you just waking up one day and finding out it's better. You deliberately. I want you to be able to get to December next year and you think back. And you remember that last year, all I had, I could boast of 10,000 naira every month. But this year now, by the end of December, I have 100k every month. Get the point? Then target 10 times increase. Target it. It's possible. How can it be possible? In everything, target 10 times increase. If they don't give you the job, create it. Create more streams of income for yourself. Be deliberate about it. You know, one thing I like, I talk about, you notice if you're in this church, you must be ambidextrous as a person. It means you are very skillful with the things of the spirit, and you're very skillful with your business too. You're doing well spiritually, you're doing well in your academics, you're doing well financially. Don't be a spiritual man that is a financial idiot. Don't be like that. And then don't be so financially inclined that you forget the spirituality. Be everywhere. Be that good. Are you getting the point? So make plans. So I want to see your plans. Amen. If you think I'm your pastor, let me see your plans. Send it to my mail. Let me see what you are doing. Let me see your plan so that we can trace it. When you write it, don't send it to me. Have a copy. And when the month ends, check the plan. Check the progress you have made. Start working on it. My spiritual life will be better. My financial life will be better. I want it to be better financially. I personally want to be better financially. Hallelujah. If there's a property, for instance, you acquire next year. You want to get a car. You want to get a house. You want to build a house next year. Put it in that plan and plan around it. Do you get the point? Plan around it. So we should not expect financial miracle. Of course, you should. But make your plans. Amen. Let the miracles God works in your life. Let it not be a replacement of the former things you had. Let it be an addition to what you have. Can I say it again? Don't be a person that every miracle God works in your life is a replacement. So your account gets to red and then the money comes. You say, thank you, Jesus. You're not start paying debts. Another decision you can begin to make next year is that next year, I'm not going to borrow. I'm not being in debt next year. And please make sure you clear your debt before the end of this year. And I'm saying that as your pastor and I'm speaking as God's prophet. That God will provide for you to clear the debts. And please, when the money comes, make sure you use it for it. Please make sure you do. And decide that next year. So how am I going to live without borrowing? Well, you can make some plans. You can step down on your spending. You understand the point? You can step down on something so that you not have to borrow. You don't have to live in debt. The Bible said the borrower is subject to the lender. It's always true. When you're owing someone, you don't rejoice fully. When you're owing someone in church, even when you buy a new shoe, you can't wear it to church. Why will you even buy a new shoe when you're owing someone? You must fix some things next year. You must be intentional. Be intentional. Not some people are so quick to borrow, but are very dull to pay back. If you're like that, make sure I don't hear about you. Because if I hear about you, I'm going to call you and make sure you pay it. Hallelujah. He said, what are you going to do, sir? Are you going to force me? Yes. Collect your phone. Don't be so quick to borrow, but then you're very slow to pay back. It even kills your reputation as a person. I don't know what I'm talking about. It kills your reputation as a person. I'm telling you. People can, and let me say this to you. If you need help, if worse comes to worse that you have to borrow, and you take money from someone, and you tell the person, I'll pay you in 1 week, please pay before 1 week. Let me tell you what you've done. You've built a better reputation. Now, when you need help next time, he will help you again. Because he knows you will pay back. That's what I'm talking about. But then when you owe someone 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, when you finally pay, maybe the person doesn't need the money again. And then you now come out next time and say, just believe me. I go pay. He's just looking at you. It's not you that came the last time and said the same thing. You have ever seen such people? That borrow quickly and don't pay. How eager are you to give you like that? Well, it's a rebuke for you. Work on it. Stop praying. But if you borrow, pay quickly. And let me say this to you. I'll say this, I'm going to begin to pray. One or two things I'm going to begin to pray. You see, decide, for instance, that next year, about your finance, you're going to pay your pledge, remit your pledges. I get the point. Let me tell you why. Remitting pledge can only happen by intentionality. You know why? Because the emotions that was available when you were making the pledge will not be available when you want to pay it back. Though I'm making the pledge, you so much want to do it, you will not feel that same way you want to pay it back. Now, decide to pay your pledge. I say something and I'm saying it again. Every time you make a pledge in church, the money always comes. The only thing is that the money comes and then you divert it and wait for the next one. And it may never come again. Think about it. All the pledges you've not paid, I'm going to give you 10,000 naira. The money came. Maybe it came with 3,000, 10,000, 7,000. But then it was coming and then you were using it to pay this to say that one is coming. And that's to me is even an act of dishonor to God. You know, I told you something, guys. Honor we always prioritize. Remember that. Not someone. You treat the person first. That's how I give. If I say I'm going to give 10,000 naira, the first 10k that enters my house, I give it. And the next one will now come. I didn't get the point. It's not what you want to give. You're just waiting. The money come, you eat it. The money come, you eat it. The money come, you eat it. And I say, when I'm 2 weeks to the team, we now get a text from Minister Rose. I say, beloved. Praise God. And I say, beloved, hope you know that way is in 2 weeks' time and you've not remitted and you now check and you are owing amazingly. Something that you've gotten all the while, you now start using 2 weeks to look for money, something you had 6 months to do. I didn't get the point. And that's how some of us treat things. Even your assignments, that's how you treat it. They give you assignments in school. You refuse to do it until 10 minutes to when to submit it. You start looking for who to copy from. I'm talking about you just be behaving like you're not seeing me. Remove your eyes, but you know you see what I'm talking about. Don't be like that. You make your pledge, money comes immediately, pay it. Make some strong decisions as next year is coming. It's a fruitful year, amen. But one instruction I got from the Lord, he said, tell these guys to live intentionally next year. The Lord said, live intentionally. Be very intentional about things you do. Don't let things happen to you. Make them happen. For instance, the Lord has showed us, for instance, how far we are going to go with church, how many more people we are going to add and all that. I know that's not going to happen by sitting down and doing service and they're coming. So next year, we're going to have more outreach plans next year. Why are we doing those outreach? Because I had seen what the Lord has showed us that we're going to do. So I will now work towards getting it to happen. So we're going to have outreach plans. We're going to have evangelism, crusades, programs, everything we're going to initiate. All we are trying to do is to prepare and to plan and to make sure that the things we want, we see them happen. Praise God. A lot of things I've not touched, but it's under everything. Something just came to me now. I talked about personal development goals. You might make some plans. Maybe you're in the choir. You see, you can get better with your singing. Hope you know that. Yeah, make some plans. Take some singing courses. Praise God. Some of you that are preachers, you want to go international, you want to take over the world, you can decide even to do something canal. Improve on your spoken English. I'm talking to you. Get better with your spoken English. Either your phonetics or anyone. Do you get the point? He said, does it really matter? Well, it matters. It matters because we're a church that will take over the world. You know, she? You know. And it's you that will be there, all right? With this year, anyways, English is what is and take over the world. Is that what you want to use? Praise God. He said, well, once it's the word, it has power. It has power to the man that understands it. You cannot be speaking nonsense and then you think that it has power. It's powerless. You don't understand it. Every plan should be made. Amen. Be intentional. So that when next year ends, like now, December is now, I'm already checking my list. When next year comes, you now go through your, December comes, you're going through your list. You are ticking. There might be one or two that you missed. It means that's what you're going to start with next year. I didn't get the point. Be intentional about your life and we can only get better and better. Amen. Why did God ask me to teach this? Because God wants you to succeed. Amen. God wants you to do well. God wants your life good. And I want to see your life good and better. It's a fruitful year next year. Amen. Praise God. You know, I said next year is a year of the supernatural. You remember? And the supernatural should have order. That's what I'm trying to bring into your life. There will be order in your life for you to have sweet supernatural happenings. It's true.
Remember the Corinthian church?
God, Paul had to bring in order so that that flow of the Spirit can be solidified and last. So bring in order into your life, and you have, you know, when the Lord began to speak to me about this church, that was some time ago now, and told me about, we're going to get better financially. One of the things that told me is, it means, remember when I held the gist, I told you guys, a broken system cannot hold water. God told me about it. I said, I want to increase you guys financially, but you must bring in order into what you do. And that's what we did. Said some things, opened an account and did all of that. And then money started coming in. Because order will aid supernatural happenings. Get some order into your life. Amen. Around your finance, you want to have more supernatural provision and more increase. Get some order. Spending plans, you have order. Are you getting the point? Income, you have order. Bring some order and you see things happen supernaturally. Supernaturally. God is the God of order. And I know you can be better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's a fruitful year for you. Amen. On Sunday, I'm going to be leading you to pray some prayers because our time is spent. There's a prayer we prayed when I went to my spiritual father's church last week. And we're going to pray that prayer. Very simple prayer. 2021, there shall be no hurts. Amen. No hurts, no harm, no shame. I said again, no hurts, no harm, no shame. And I'll show you a lot of scriptures that we're going to pray with. That I'll show you like up to 20 scriptures we're going to pray with. Amen. There shall be no hurts. We'll pray that in January. But before that time comes, please get to work. Pray, fully begin to make plans around this thing I say. It's not the time to talk too much or to be engaged in so much noise in the air. Make your plans. Plan your next year. And let's live intentionally next year. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this evening? Bow your head and pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Manani ananu zani, labaroni anasodi adigama shudi ana. Just talk in other tongues wherever you are. Talk in other tongues. Some of you have got some kind of rebukes this period. That's beautiful. It means you have to work on those things. Make some deliberate plans. Some of it's around conduct that you have to make some deliberate plans. It might demand shifting some clothes that you are wearing. I just mentioned clothes. It might demand shifting them or giving them to someone else. Make some deliberate plans. It might mean cutting off from some friends, relocating from where you are staying. It might mean anything, but make some plans. Some addiction cases are because of friends kept around you. It might mean shift from those things. So make some plans. Just pray. Take like 3 more minutes, yeah? Take 3 minutes and pray. Let me hear you pray in the Holy Ghost. Shamani anana mazuna ni anikola pradia. Heyama anagonash. Sobalada yada la pradio koma nuno sida la kriya de koma ni ananash. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Sabali adush. O manani anakela frete kola ni ana. You think well of us, Jesus. You think well of us. And that's why you've shared these beautiful truths with us. You want us to be well. You think well of us. You think well of us. You want us to do better. You want us to do better in ministry, better in our spiritual lives, better in our relationships, better with our finances, better in our health, in our personal lives. You want us to do better. You want us to do better. You want us to do better. We are not going to live carelessly in the coming year. We are not going to live carefreely in the coming year. We are going to live orderly lives, intentional lives in the coming year. These plans that you are going to make and write down between now and 31st of December, that's what you should be praying for and praying with. Even on 31st of December, that's what you are still going to pray. Remember I told you, you bet plans in prayer. So rise them so that between and that time, we are praying with them. Praying with them. Praying with them. Praying with them. My finance must take a turn. My health must take a turn. My academics must be better. My ministry must be better. My spiritual life must be better. I will live better. I will live better. I will live better. The Lord will aid your plans. He will give your plans results, but you have to make the plans. He will make your plans succeed. You cannot stumble into wealth. Nobody does that. You plan towards it. Nobody stumbles into increase. You plan towards it. Nobody stumbles into spiritual growth. You plan towards it. You cannot stumble into success. You plan towards success. So make your plans. He said, plan and I will give increase to it. Plan and I will bring it to pass. Plan and I will bring it to pass. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. May you bless this evening.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.